Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So, one of the things we need to realize about the Holy Spirit is that He needs to be to us what Jesus was to His disciples. To His disciples, Jesus was their comforter. Jesus was their teacher. Jesus was their guide. Jesus was their Lord. He showed them things to come. Jesus is no longer here. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Our salvation comes through Him. He is our God. He's our Lord. We worship Him. Absolutely. But He also said this. He said that I will send another helper. That's in John 14, 16. I will send another helper. In other words, I am the helper, but I will send another one. And when I go up, He said, it will be better for you. Amen. And He sent this other helper who was the Holy Spirit, who is now with us, who basically has taken that role in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. So now the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us. He's the one who comforts us. He's the one who teaches us. The same way that that Jesus was to His disciples, now the Holy Spirit plays that role in our lives. It's extremely important for you as believers in Christ, as new born-again believers washed in the blood of Jesus, it's important for you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The same way that the disciples needed to get to know Jesus, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one who will teach us things to come. He will be our comforter. He'll be our helper. These are all the things that Jesus said He would be in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
But the problem with us is we don't know how to communicate with Him. We don't know how to have relationship with Him. Why? Because He's a spirit. He's a person, but He's a spirit. He doesn't talk to us the way that I talk to you. Amen. But you'll have to come another night for that. Amen. So, just a little preview. So that's what we're going to be talking about. One of the nights we're going to be talking about the power of God. I'm really excited about that. But before we do anything, the Lord spoke to me and you know, I said to the Lord, really, Lord, you know, is this where you want me to start? And I felt it was very important that I started here. So we're going to start with Luke 14, verse number 18. Amen. To all you that are visiting, it's wonderful to have you with us. We hope you are blessed and encouraged and strengthened. Amen. So this is what the Bible says. Luke 4, 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The first thing we see that the Spirit of the Lord, who had anointed Jesus Christ to do the work that He was called to do here, the first thing we see Him do is anoint Him to preach the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
So He came to preach the good news. The good news. He preaches salvation. Salvation is the good news, the gospel. Amen. It's a part of it. Amen. So He comes to spread the message, the good news. But we see directly after that, even before He speaks about healing people and healing the body and deliverance to people, He speaks about something very powerful. He says that He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. In other words, Jesus was anointed to heal people who are brokenhearted. Now, in this world, there are many people in the world. And the reality is that even in the church, there are many people who walk around or who are struggling because they have a broken heart. Even now, there are people already getting touched. Amen. because God is going to heal your broken heart tonight. Amen. Amen. You can do better than that, church. Amen. Amen. Jesus came to bring healing to our hearts, healing to our emotions. Statistics show that 1/3 of people that go to psychiatrists actually get better. 1/3 of them don't get better. And 1/3 of them get worse when they have a broken heart. Now, if you're a psychiatrist, please don't send me hate mail. Amen. I know some of you do a great job. Amen. But this is what statistics show. Amen. So statistics tell us that 1/3 of people get better, 1/3, you know, don't get better at all, and 1/3 actually get worse. So we see that this may not be the solution to healing someone who has pain or hurt or a broken heart. Amen. But we know that the Bible says that Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. So that's good news. He heals our heart from many different things. He heals our heart from past wounds. He heals our heart from past hurts. There are people sitting here, perhaps, that something happened to you in your childhood. You may not even have told anybody about what took place in your life. And you feel that if you just suppress it, eventually it's going to go away. You can serve the Lord and you can never ever speak about it. You can never deal with it. And you think that just with time, eventually the pain of this thing will eventually just leave you. But the reality is that if you don't deal with it, it's not going to get healed. You are going to be stuck. You see, there may be certain things manifesting in your life. You don't know why. You may have an issue with anger. You don't know why. It might be because you haven't dealt with something that happened to you in your past. The reality is that we have to deal with the issues in our heart. We have to deal with pain and hurt that is in our heart from our past. Amen. The other thing we have to realize is that as Christians, as we walk this walk, offenses are going to come. Regardless of how you look or how good you are or how well you preach or how anointed you are or how good you think you are, let me tell you, brother, offenses are going to come. Okay? The Bible says that offenses will come. So regardless of what you do, offenses will come. Another thing that can bring hurt in your life is sin. Sin also causes hurt. It causes anguish in your soul. Psalm 41, verse number 4 says this. I said, Lord, be merciful and gracious to me. Heal my inner self, for I have sinned against you. Guilt and rebellion and anxiety, these are all things that cause our hearts to be broken. These are all things that cause our hearts to hurt. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but be encouraged, the word makes it glad. People often think that when they have had something happen to them, when they were younger, it will just go away on its own. So they suffer with anxiety, they suffer with this pain, and they don't know where it comes from, and they don't realize, but what they don't understand is that it's because they haven't dealt with an issue. They haven't forgiven that uncle yet that did that thing. They haven't dealt with it yet. And I'm here to tell you tonight in this place that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. He wants you to be free. When you walk out here tonight, no more will the enemy have his way because of something that took place in your life when you were small. Amen. Sometimes when we have a broken heart, it can even affect our bodies. It can even affect our bones. Watch this. Proverbs 17:22 says, a happy heart is good medicine, but a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Sometimes because of bitterness or because we're hurting so much, you may even, listen to me, I didn't say it is, I said it may be. So don't go and say the pastor said, no, the pastor said it may be. Things like arthritis and certain sicknesses in your body could result directly to bitterness and hurt and anguish in your spirit. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen someone. I was dealing with a young man when I was very young in ministry. I was still young. I was 18 years old. I was on fire in those days. Amen. I don't know what happened. Amen. So we were praying for this young man, and the power of God was present, and he had these sores all over his face, all over his body. And they were bad. I mean, they were like huge sores. You could see them, and they were like festering, and it was terrible. And he was sick, and he was coughing, and he was sneezing, and his nose was running. And we were praying for him, and immediately he confessed something that had happened to him when he was younger, and that he was dealing with in his life. As soon as he did that, a spirit left him. A spirit of infirmity left his body. Immediately the sickness was gone, the sores were gone, they weren't there anymore, because he confessed, he dealt with it, he forgave. Amen. And immediately he was healed. Now this is for free. Amen. So then I'm sitting there now, and the glory of God's in the room, and there's this guy next to me. His name was Theo, and he was like, he had this car accident, and ever since the car accident, he had this powerful encounters with the Lord, and he would see angels all the time, and he's weeping, and he's going on about this big angel in the room, and this young man's busy weeping because there's this big angel in the room, and I'm looking around saying, God, why don't you show me the angel too? Amen. But what I will say is that it taught me a valuable lesson that day. That the heart plays an important role in everything that goes on in your life and everything that goes on around you. As a believer, guys, you cannot have a successful walk with God if you're carrying bitterness and hurt and anguish and anxiety, if you're carrying these things and they directly related because of unforgiveness. You may have been divorced, you still hate your ex-husband, you can't forgive your ex-husband. Let me tell you something, you cannot move forward until you deal with that thing, until you forgive him. Doesn't matter how evil he is, just forgive him, let it go. Come on, amen. Psalm 140, verse number 47, verse number 3 says this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jeremiah 31, 25 says, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every soul. He wants to heal every broken heart. He wants to replenish every sorrowful soul. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Now, I want to show you something powerful. When we say that he was wounded for our transgressions, means that he was cut and he bled from the inside out. Amen. He was wounded. He was cut. The blood came out of him. But when we say that he was bruised for our iniquities, that word bruised actually speaks of, how many of you know when you get bruised, you're actually bleeding on the inside? So he was bleeding on the outside and bleeding on the inside. The word iniquities is actually a word that suggests it has a tendency to normally come from the forefathers. So he came to deal with the curses. He came to deal with the things that you're carrying in your life. Amen. Many of us have a tendency to carry things from our fathers or from our mothers. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something that seems to just come down the line. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you look today, there are certain tendencies, even in this country right now, that are so much stronger than what they were 25 years ago. I'm not against, I love homosexuals. I love them. I don't have to agree with what they do, but I love them. Amen. But if you look today, you'll notice that homosexuality is far stronger than what it was 25 years ago. Why? Because 25 years ago, when we talk about the 70s, I don't know, it might even be longer than that, and we talk about specifically the hippie era, there was a lot of really bad stuff going on. The forefathers were behaving very promiscuously. Those sins passed down. They now, they even grow and express themselves in a larger way because the sins carry down. So now it grows and grows, and the next generation is even worse. And now they're so bad that it's to the point where it becomes even an abomination. Amen. Amen. But he came to deal with that. Amen. Amen. He came to break the curse of that. He came to break it, to set somebody free from that. I said to the group a few months ago, I was in a conference one day, and a pastor that I know said, you know, he said, you know, a lot of people will say that I was born homosexual. I don't know why I'm doing this, okay? That I was born homosexual. Well, the reality is when you give your life to Jesus, you are born again. Amen? You are born again, which means that you are made whole, you are made new. I have seen people get set free from homosexuality, people. I have seen it. Amen. Amen. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He doesn't want you to be free. He doesn't want you to walk with liberty. He doesn't want you to have joy. He doesn't want you to walk with the things that God has for you, the things that He's prepared for you. He wants you to be stuck. Saved, but stuck. Not moving anymore. Not moving forward anymore. Making no progress anymore. Making no difference anymore. Because there are things in your past that you haven't dealt with. There are things holding you back. But tonight in this place, I want to tell you that the same spirit that was on Jesus is here tonight. The same spirit that was there to set the captive free. The same spirit that was there to heal the brokenhearted. The Lord put it on my heart for tonight that the brokenhearted in this place, for there are many that have come here tonight and your heart is broken. Your heart is hurting. You are carrying things around that you've been carrying for years and years and years. But He is here tonight to set you free. Amen. 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 So what do we need to do? What do we need to do in order for us to be forgiven? And in order for us to have our broken heart healed? The first thing is we have to forgive everyone who ever hurt us. Do they deserve it? Probably not. Did you deserve salvation? Definitely not. Well, I know I didn't. Amen. Okay, I'm bad, but you're okay. Amen. You don't deserve it. Every time you mess up, is He good and faithful to forgive you? So there are people that mess up, that have messed up. Some of them have done terrible things to you. But in order for you to move on, in order for you to be set free, you have to forgive them. Amen. 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 Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse number 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, watch, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. These things, these bitternesses, this wrath, anger, clamor, a lot of it is a problem that we have because we do not forgive. We do not let go. You know, Brother Bob, did you see what he did? Can you believe he did that to me? Well, I'm not going to talk to him for 6 months. And poor Brother Bob has got no idea what you're talking about. And he's carrying on doing his thing, and you're getting more and more mad. And when he walks in the room, you look at him and you go, oh, I'm not going to talk to him. And the bitterness begins to grow, and it begins to grow. Eventually, you can't even remember what you're so mad at him, but you're so mad at him now that you just want to murder him. It's a silly example, but that's what happens, guys. Colossians 3:12 says this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We do not deserve forgiveness, but He forgave us. Tonight in this place, we must forgive. Otherwise, you must understand, if you do not forgive, He cannot forgive you. He will only forgive you if you forgive. You have to let it go. You have to let it go tonight. Amen. 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 Don't leave here tonight. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, do not leave here the same way that you did when you walked through the door. Do not walk out here with that pain anymore. It doesn't matter if your father doesn't know about it. It doesn't matter if your cousin doesn't know about it. It doesn't matter. You need to be free. You need to be set free. You need to be delivered. It doesn't matter. No one needs to know what you did. It doesn't matter what you did. It's between you and God. Amen. But tonight, let it go. That thing that's holding you back, let it go tonight. Amen. Amen. The second thing that we need to do now, this is sometimes a little tough for some people. First Peter 5, verse number 6 to 7 says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now watch, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. The second thing we must do when we desire the Lord to heal our broken heart is we must humble ourselves. Can you say amen? Amen. We must humble ourselves. We must cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us, and He will heal us. He will deliver us. He will set us free. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to share a quick story with you, and then I'm going to minister to you. But first, Luke 7, let's all go there. Luke 7, verse 36. And here's our main text for this evening, our main and our last text. Amen. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Amen. Then one of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him. And He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at His feet behind Him weeping. And she began to wash His feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, I would know, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, "Teacher, say it." Now, I just want to point something out here. Just look at how amazing Jesus is. Simon doesn't say anything. All he does is he thinks it. And Jesus is sitting in the room and perceives what Simon is saying. He hears his thoughts. And so he answers his statement. And watch what Jesus says. Jesus is amazing. Amen. Verse 41. "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both, telling me, tell me therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged. You have rightly judged." The perception of the Pharisee was, who is this woman to come in here who is a sinner, a wicked woman? And this man of God looks upon her and allows her to touch his feet, to worship at his feet, to wash his feet with her hair. In those days, a woman's hair was like the main thing. Not only was she humbling herself and bowing at his feet, but she was actually taking her greatest thing, which was her hair, and washing his feet with her hair. And Jesus replies in this most incredible way and says that if I forgive her, her sins, which may be many, she will love me more than you. Now watch what he says. It's absolutely amazing. Amen. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." I want to point out to you that the manner in which this woman approaches the Lord, who clearly had a broken heart, the manner in which she came towards him humbly, realizing and recognizing who it was that she was standing before or kneeling before. She wouldn't even stand in his presence. She was on her knees kneeling before him, worshiping him, washing his feet with her hair, humbling herself. And he healed her broken heart. Do you know that in a service like this, there are two types of people that come to the service? The same two types of people that are in the story. The one will come who is the Pharisee, who will come to listen and to learn. But I know, and this is just a simple teaching, and you've taught me nothing new today, Pastor. And when you leave here tonight, you will leave the exact same way that you did when you walked through the door. And then there is the other. The one who walks through the door, who has a heart like this woman. Maybe you're not a sinner. I don't know. Even though you are. You may think you're not, but you are. Amen. That's a discussion for another day. Amen. But the other will walk in and have the attitude where they will do anything to be touched by his presence. They will do anything to get near to him. She heard he was in his house. She probably took everything she had and bought that alabaster box, which was very costly oil. A woman who probably had nothing and probably did the worst things to get that money. But she gave it all up because she was desperate to be in his presence. She was desperate to be touched by him. When you come to church, how do you go to church? With an attitude of, God, I'm here tonight because I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for a touch from you. If you've come here tonight and you have that attitude and you have a broken heart, I want to tell you that God is going to heal you tonight. He's going to heal your broken heart. Amen. Amen. I know this is no shabba shabba shim shim. Amen. But this is an important word tonight. Because before we can step into the next thing that God has for us, he needs to heal everybody tonight that has a broken heart in this place. Amen. Can I ask everybody just to bow their heads for just a moment? Can you dim the lights for me, please, guys? Father, we are here tonight for you. And Lord, you are the healer. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same Lord that took a detour to go and find a woman in Samaria and speak with her. Not many pastors would do that today, but you did it. You will take a detour for everyone that is sitting here tonight because they are precious to you. They are precious to you. Doesn't matter how many mistakes we've made. And there might be people here that have made lots of mistakes. Guess what? Welcome to the club. Thank God for the grace and the blood of Jesus that is sufficient for you. You may have heard this kind of call many, many times. But aren't you tired of the same old, same old? Aren't you tired that things just never seem to change? If you've come into this place tonight and you don't know the Lord, just cry out to him now. If you've never made him Lord of your life, just cry out to him now. Just cry out to him now. Just begin to speak to him. Please, guys, this is a very sensitive moment. Nobody look around, please. Just begin to speak to him. His presence is here. He is here right now. His blood is sufficient for you. You may have served God, but you've been walking in a way that you know it wasn't right. Your life is not where it should be. I'm speaking, and even as I speak tonight, you realize that you've been stuck. You've been stuck. There's been no life in you. Well, tonight, just commit to him and say, Lord, I commit to you. I don't want you to put your hand up. You know who you are. Just begin to speak to him. Just begin to speak to him. Just begin to cry out to him. Just cry out to him. Nobody look around, please. This is personal tonight. His presence is here. In his presence, there's healing. In his presence, there's deliverance. In his presence, there's There's forgiveness for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's forgiveness for you. Now, I want everybody to stand. I don't want you to put your hands up. Everybody stand. Please, just stay in this atmosphere. Don't get distracted now. Because this is just the beginning. Amen. Now, if you are one of those that heard this call, every single one of us are going to pray this prayer. But I want you to pray it from the bottom of your heart, like it means something to you. And the Bible says that when you do this, you are made whole. You are made new. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's all pray this together. If you've prayed it before, pray it again. It's not going to kill you. Amen. Let's all pray together. Say, Father, I come to you tonight. And I give my heart to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for my sins. Make me whole. Make me new. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, Lord, I have served you, but I've lost my way. Renew me tonight. Forgive me tonight. Strengthen me tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now stay like this. Just stay like this now. Now, if you've come here tonight, you might be here tonight and you are suffering from a broken heart. You are suffering from a broken heart. Maybe it's a pastor that hurt you. Maybe it's an addiction that's got you broken. Maybe it's something that happened to you as a child that's got you broken. You may never have confessed it. You may have confessed it, but you're still broken. If you're broken, if you're hurting, and you're crying out to Him, if you have an attitude like this woman tonight, if that's you, can you lift your hand? I just want to see where you are. Just lift your hand. I can see there's many hands going up. Amen. Amen. Just keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down for just a moment. You can put your hands down for just a moment. If I can ask, can we sing one song? Church, and those of you that lifted your hands, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Begin to worship Him now. Begin to worship Him. His presence is here. He's here tonight. He's in this place. Let's just worship Him. Let's just sing one song and just welcome Him into this place. And then God is going to touch you. Those of you that have a broken heart, there were many of you that put your hands up. God is going to set you free. He's going to touch you tonight in this place. You will not leave here the same. Amen. Come, let's sing. Let's sing.
For great is your love, oh God.
Come on, church. Have an attitude like that woman tonight.
And your faithfulness reaches to the skies. For great is your love, oh God. And your faithfulness reaches to the sky. For great is your love.
hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.